The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Give us feedback on this podcast or ask tech questions by calling the voicemail hotline at 877-414-5856. That's 877-414-5856 to get your questions answered.
So are you officially involved with the Northern Voice Conference, or are you just a staunch supporter?
I'm a staunch supporter, speaker, and volunteer.
Do you know what staunch means?
No, actually, I never looked it up.
I haven't either. I was just curious. I just said it, you know, because everyone always says it in the news, so I figured I'd use it too. You know, that's the funny thing. You know, the media will say one word, and then all of a sudden you'll turn every channel, and everybody's using that word. Like, someone will say gravitas, and all of a sudden everyone's saying gravitas, and no one knows what it means.
I love when Jon Stewart does that, and he catches people on their talking points.
Yeah,
that's so
awesome. You guys get Daily Show up here too, huh?
Yeah, well, I watch it online because I don't have cable, so.
Do you get the whole thing online, though?
No, you only get certain segments.
Oh, so you watch it through Motherload.
No, I watch it on the Jon Stewart site.
There's a Jon Stewart site?
Yeah, like the website on Comedy Central.
Oh, on Comedy Central. Yeah. Right.
So you can go to like
you
recent
only get
clips
the clips though.
Yeah.
See, honestly, I think the Daily Show though, the most interesting parts of it are like the first two parts, and then the interviews I just kind of usually blow off.
Yeah, they're kind of iffy.
I'm not an interview kind of guy, and here I am interviewing you. So you're a designer by trade, or you have a design firm?
Yeah. I work at a design firm.
You work at a design firm.
I'm a business guy though.
That's kind of a misnomer. It's your design firm.
Yeah, I'm a partner.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you work on websites all across the world, not just in Canada.
Yeah, I'm Canada, assuming. U.S. I think we have our first European client now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doing what? Or can you say? Or you have to kill me?
Yeah, we can't say anything about most things until they launch. So.
Oh, so it's actually you're working on it.
Yeah. Well, we had it was a client in London, and I think we did our part and passed it on to the next person to do their part. So,
okay. Last time I remember, you were just moving to Vancouver from somewhere else in Canada.
Prince Edward Island.
Why move to Vancouver? I mean, isn't Prince Edward Island everything you expected it to be?
That's pretty cool there. I mean, it's a great place to grow up, right? But I'd lived in Toronto for 2 years.
That was very politically. Are you expecting people from there to listen to this?
Well, if they did, they'd be like, yeah, it is a great place to grow up.
Great place to grow up, okay.
It's like just totally like small town, white picket fence.
Okay,
very,
gotcha.
Very nice. So.
Gotcha.
And I lived in Toronto for 2 years, and I liked that, but it was cold in the winter, and I was like.
Oh, as opposed to this?
Well, snow, dude, everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all winter.
So it doesn't snow in Vancouver then?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, you get like this much, maybe a day or two, and then. It's all rain.
See, Ponzi was freaking out because she was not used to the conversion, so we're driving up listening to the radio. It said 0 degrees, and she freaked.
Freaked
and I said,
out.
No, it's okay. It's centigrade. You know, we're all okay. We're going kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
And she looks at the gas and go, wow, only 94 cents. I'm like, you got to understand. It's a liter because it's the whole metric system thing.
Yeah.
So do you charge people by the metric system, or do you go by U.S. dollars?
Yeah, we charge metric.
Metric?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't know how the conversion like that
worked.
Well,
there's Canadian dollar, right?
Oh, Canadian dollar. So it's Rain City Studios, correct? Okay. I was just going completely off of memory there.
Yeah.
And you sent us a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Why the hell did you do that?
We love you guys.
I know, but why the hell did you do that?
We sent Christmas card to everyone we love.
I know, because you try to get a hold of someone to find out my address.
Yeah.
And I give you an address.
I pinged Chris.
I didn't know if you were going to send like a shoe bomb or something like that.
No, I pinged Chris and he didn't know why, so I think he just passed it on to you, and I was like, oh, jigs up.
Well, we were very happy that it wasn't a flaming pile of poo when it showed up on the doorstep. You know, you can't really fit flaming piles of poo in an envelope anymore.
Yeah.
Not like it used to be, really.
And back plus, in the good old days.
You sent it from Canada, too.
Yeah,
so
they probably might have caught on at the border.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't have a hard time getting across the border this time. We drove up, showed him the passports, and he said, all right, where are you guys from? I said, Seattle. And what are you guys doing up here? And I had to think. I said, I don't want to say I'm going to a conference, because then, you know, he might pull me over and ask, you know, what's going on with this conference thing. So I just said vacation.
Really?
Yeah.
And I always get the best answer with a conference.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm purposefully vague, but tell them just what they want to know, right? They say, what do you do? I work at a web design studio. What's your job? Sales and marketing.
Yeah,
what are you going for?
Aren't they crazy about letting you over if it has to do with business?
No, because they say, why are you going? And I'm never going for client stuff unless I, like, meet some people and we do work later on.
Yeah.
Right? Because that way I get around it. I'm not actually breaking the rules, so
makes
sense. It's all good. Yeah, I just say I'm going to an industry technology conference, and they're like, I've already lost them. They're already bored, and they're like, oh, which one?
You know, go figure.
And you say, like, this, and what's that for? Oh, people work on the web. Oh, okay, all right.
Now, I know you run with the Drupal guys.
Yep.
Is that pretty much what you design around when you get a client that comes to you?
Yeah, all the sites we've done since I've been a part of the company for a year have been Drupal sites. They've been mostly Bright sites. We had, I think, one client that ran their own deal. We have a new client that's going to run their own deal, too, on their own servers. We also have our first project, which is a custom dev project, and that's going to be done in Ruby on Rails. So.
Now, have you looked at WordPress has got a multi-user ability.
Yep.
Have you looked too much into that? Or
most of our clients aren't looking for a multi-user blog, per se. They're looking for, like, a full CMS with aggregation and all that stuff. So, when they see what Drupal can do, they're like, yep, that's perfect. Just let's get that.
Plug it in and run with it.
I've had very little resistance on using Drupal for commercial sites. And
is that largely because people aren't familiar with what's out there, or it just sounds like a good package?
Yeah, and they're like, well, I basically break it down like feature list, de-geekify it for them. You know, I don't say like it's got RSS, and they don't know what that means. So
yeah,
I say
sure.
like it's easy for people to subscribe, and it can pull in content from other sites, and it's easy for people to post content and have their own place and share it in a single space too. And they're like, yeah, perfect, sounds great.
That works.
Yeah.
So what makes Drupal so good? I mean, everybody, it seems like Vancouver is like the, mm-hmm. the epicenter of Drupal for some reason. It could be Bright. It could be you guys. I mean, I don't know why.
Well, I don't think we'd be where we are right now without Bright. So they're probably at the center of it.
Yeah.
Boris, definitely. Boris is like a huge Drupal evangelizer, right? And he gets it in a way that if you think it can't be done in Drupal, he'll like show you in 5 minutes how it actually could. And you're like, oh, well, I guess I don't need to check for something else then.
Yeah.
So, and for us, like almost all of our sites are Bright sites, which means we don't have to have a server admin and set up servers and worry about when the server dies.
Yeah.
How much rack space do we need? Blah, blah, blah. Psh, don't worry
all
about
that stuff.
So, yeah. So we basically just hit a button. The site gets made. We configure it somewhat. We're actually going to make it one step easier where probably 90% of all configurations we do are the same. And that's a 10% of difference that makes it a brochureware site or a community blog or whatever. So we'll probably have it do that 90% of the setup too in the like an install profile. So we click the button and it's done that much, and we just do the little bit of setup after.
So what the hell drew you to being in the web design business?
I was living in PEI, working a crummy
job. Are you gonna pull a gun on me? Or
no,
you
I'm
just
itchy,
itch?
Dude.
All right,
sorry,
because you're like freaking
I'm
me
like,
out here.
I went snowboarding last night, and I need to stretch now.
Oh,
I haven't
okay.
been on the hill for like 4 years.
Oh, so. Longer than me then, because I've been on the hill never.
Really?
And yeah. I just
oh, dude, I grew up skiing and then switched to snowboarding for like 6 years.
You know, just the other day, I went snowboarding on my Xbox 360, and it was great.
What game?
Amped.
Nice.
Amped, the new one.
Yeah.
And Jake loves it, and I was trying to get into it. It was just like bizarre. I mean, it was just some weird storyline stuff going on.
Yeah.
And like I had to make these massive tricks and press up, up, down, you know, all the turn right and then BA and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I get lost. So what drove you to this business?
I was working like a crummy other tech job, like from when I was 16 until off and on, I worked at like call centers and stuff because it was the only really IT job that was accessible to a young person,
right?
Unless you were going to start your own gig. And at that point, if you wanted to start your own gig, it was hard to get like the business advice and mm-hmm. enough clients that weren't just local clients, which yep. are the hardest clients, right? So it was, there was a lot of barriers to entry. But I decided I'd just start doing my own thing, and I did. I had a proprietorship for a year. Did that. Full-time, yeah. And then I had a partnership for a year, took a part-time job so that I could keep more of the money in the company to try and grow it. And then I came out here for what I thought would be 2 months, really liked it, and decided to join up with the Rain City guys, and that's how I got to do what I did. So.
Ah, okay, so now you're with Rain City then.
Yeah, so I've been with them for about a year now.
And they're just a complete design house.
Well, we
that's
were until about a month ago when we hired 2 developers.
Okay.
So we have an intern. He's an intern now, and he's been told this already, so it's no secret. He'll probably get to stay after his internship.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, he's a great Drupal developer, so he was a PHP guy, became a Drupal guy really quick, and we were impressed with how fast he learned and how well he gets things done and quickly. So
are your blinders on then? Is it Drupal or nothing? I mean, I know you're talking customized solutions.
Yeah, well, we had a client that came to us with something they wanted to do, and Drupal couldn't do it the way he wanted in the time frame he wanted, so he said, well, just build it custom for me if you need to, and we said, okay, well, we hired on Jeremy Hubert, and he does Ruby on Rails development, so he's working on that right now. So, and I think we just had a client meeting today that hopefully might turn out well, and if it does, it'll be a second custom project. So
seems like the web is getting reinvigorated with all this. I guess they're saying it's Web 2.0, but I don't know if I believe that. Do you swallow that hype?
It's a buzzword. I mean, we use the buzzword for our marketing.
Oh, sure, yeah. Who wouldn't?
It's because
this is a web
people recognize
yeah,
it,
I know.
Right?
This is a Web 2.0 podcast.
Yeah, sweet.
I got tags in my pants right now.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's nice. And I got big fonts, you know.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Do you have a big email sign-up box somewhere?
Yeah, like somewhere, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the page itself.
You're totally going to get bought by like Google or
that's
Yahoo
what I'm waiting
tomorrow.
For.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to launch it. I'm just going to say, here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's bought it. No one's even made an offer. $25, I think, is about as much as I had
yeah.
for it. And quite honestly, they paid me to just stop broadcasting altogether.
So. Is that how the whole tech TV thing shook out?
Yeah, that's almost how it happened. They paid me to not do as much as they wanted me to do.
Yeah. Do you know my favorite segment of yours is the one where the guy
breaks
that
the
tape.
Cylinder, right?
Yeah,
right.
I know. I'm sure you're
you
hear
know,
it.
You know, I got called an a-hole on national television because of that.
Really?
It was a blooper show. Patrice O'Neill was basically hosting a show. It's called VH1's Web 20 or something. It was me and I... It, do the thing, and I said, well, that does happen. And the guy, he cuts away, and he says, no, it doesn't, you beep. I was like, oh, my God, I can call him an a-hole right there on national television.
Well, it's from VH1, what do you expect?
Yeah, I know.
There was probably a condom ad right after that, right?
Yeah, and, well, actually, VH1's, it's skewing younger. It used to be like the old farts that would watch VH1.
Oh.
And me. I always liked it. It was me and the old farts that watched VH1.
So now they're going after the MySpace
crowd.
Yeah,
they're totally the MySpace crowd. Yeah. Totally. Where the hell did they come from, anyway?
I don't know. I
heard out of the middle of nowhere.
I heard they sprung up from, like, what used to be a spyware company or something like that. But that's a rumor, so I make no claim of warranty.
Oh, okay, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah.
So are you going to be doing anything at Northern Voice this time around?
I'm speaking with two people far above myself, Kevin Marks of
Technorati, sure.
And Robert Scoble of Microsoft. And we're all just going to geek out and show some cool stuff we've been toying around with just for fun. So
stuff that you've been toying around with on?
Like our websites and web technology and stuff. Kind of like here's a look forward at what some people are experimenting with and where things could go someday kind of thing. So I think Scoble's going to talk about that comment.
Co-comment thing.
Yeah,
it's generating a lot of buzz, but a lot of it seems to be negative more than positive.
Yeah, I wait on these things. I test them out, but I'm not going to tell any of my clients to sign up for it tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting idea, certainly, you know, being able to track your own conversations. I think there's a validity in doing that.
Well, Richard Erickson and I used to have this thing where we would tag our things we commented on and tag it with my comment or my comments, and then you could just look at my user profiles, my comments tag on Delicious and see all the sites I commented on, or I could go back later.
So you hacked it, basically.
Yeah, we hacked something together.
Yeah, but I mean, that's pretty much, I think, what it, a little fancier than that.
Yeah, same idea, though, right?
Well, you know, honestly, as much as I've seen all these alleged Web 2.0 companies, in massive air quotes there, you know, I think the idea is supposed to be freedom and freedom of information and being able to get your stuff in and out really easily, but I haven't seen any of them really do that. It's more like, let's just make user-generated content and call it Web 2.0.
It's a real shame that more of these companies haven't caught on that, like, one of the things the successful companies like Flickr did was have an API really early and make it so that you were never locked into Flickr from day one.
Yep.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that gets alpha users like us to actually consider using it, because we've all been burned a million times. We've all had to change because, not because the product sucked or the company sucked, but because something better came along and it was time to move to that.
Yep.
Like, we need to be able to move stuff in and out, and anybody who isn't making that a priority really suffers, I think, in the trust area.
Do you think more and more companies are just going to have to just say, all right, here's the API?
Yeah, I think...
If there is an API to be had.
I think if you want to be successful, you should launch with an API.
Really?
Definitely. Yeah, well, I mean, how do you get all the Scobles and Chris Perlows and everybody else saying, this is awesome, and don't worry, if it doesn't work out, you can get your stuff out of there.
Well, see, honestly, you know, an API isn't as interesting to me as it is... Like, RSS is poor man's API. So, like, that is the base level of kind of what I look for if I'm putting data into a system somehow, is being able to extract it at least through RSS. I mean, it's the simplest way.
It's too bad more of the, and I admit I'm a little ignorant about it, it's too bad more of the weblog APIs don't allow you to keep local copies of all the posts you make. So, like, I use Ecto for a Mac, and I can keep, I think, up to 150 posts, but, I mean, that's a pretty good backup, but I'd like to have all of them. So
is all your design shop use Macs then?
Yeah, we're a Mac shop.
Really?
We test on IE, right? We have to on PC. But
well, naturally. Well, now you can run it in like a virtual PC easily.
Yeah, we found it didn't run as well though.
Really?
Yeah. We just bought a PC and set it up. So.
Well, let me show you something here. I'm gonna reboot my laptop.
It's got the IBM ThinkPad here.
Yeah, this is the ThinkPad T41P. It's been good to me so far. I'm doing something sad right now, and I'm gonna shut down my internet connection, which took a little bit to get up, but. Since we're not streaming live on the internet, it doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah. So. Is this the ThinkPad where you can drop it and it stops spinning the hard drive if it detects motion?
Most ThinkPads come now with software that will, think it's called Active Protection, something along those lines, where it's running constantly in the background. And you can set it up to remind you, hey, you know, you jostled the hard drive, so I had to stop it. Or you can just say, ignore it and just do what you need to do and don't tell me.
I think I'd actually like to know, so I stopped whiffing my laptop around.
It got annoying. You know,
really?
As soon as I started moving, it's like, you know what? Okay, great. I don't need to be reminded that I moved the laptop. Thank you so much. Thank you for reminding me that I moved the laptop.
Yeah.
So
there's a great Tiger widget that somebody made that uses, I think, the new PowerBook's internal ability to tell whether it's level or not and created
level. Yeah, I heard about that.
So you can use your laptop as a level now.
Yeah, I totally heard about that. That's crazy, man. That's absolutely crazy.
It's cool, but I don't know if any tradespeople are going to actually use that as a level.
Well, you know, I'm not an OS X guy.
Yeah,
I just I've got it running, but I'm just not into the I just can't. I'm now that the speed is there, you know, maybe I'll look at it. But I know a lot of designers of, you know, the Mac and everything. Do you really think it's that big of a difference between Mac and the PC? I mean, Mac, well, I should say Apple's OS X and Windows XP in terms of the way things go with design.
I've been on Mac for a year now, so I've been on OS X for a year. But a year before that, I was on Linux.
Okay.
And I liked the freedom of Linux and the things I could do and play with it. It was way beyond my means. I really was irritated by lack of usability and design aesthetic, and also, you know, not being able to figure out how to make my Wi-Fi card work was a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
You know, drivers. So I liked that I saw a lot of those things in OS X in terms of stability and it just seeming to work and not having to worry about viruses and spyware as much.
Oh, so you don't worry about that at all?
No, I mean, I haven't. I don't run virus checks, really.
So I can upload a virus to your machine. You wouldn't know it.
Go for it, dude.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I'll catch you.
What's your IP address?
This 192.
No. You say 127.0.0.1.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to hack you. I want to hack you so bad. Look, I'm deleting your C drive. Ha ha. Hey, where'd I go? So what's on the horizon then? You guys are going to be doing more development. Obviously taking on more clients.
Yep.
Is that really the only thing you guys are going to be doing? You going to be releasing anything in the public domain?
We're looking at productizing. We're trying to pick smart. I think we realize we've got all the right people we need on our team, and we've got a lot of ideas. But, you know, the easiest thing is to pick the idea that's not the best one. So,
pick the idea that's not the best one?
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things. If we're going to productize, we want it to be a success, right?
Oh, of course.
We've been very lucky to be successful with client work.
But if it's not the best one, then why would you pick that?
That's what I'm saying, is we want to be sure we pick the best.
Oh, okay.
So
I had
a roundabout way of
saying
it. Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, I was really confused there. I'm like... You guys aren't trying to run it into the ground on purpose. You got an IPO and then screw the shareholders.
Yeah. It's a pump and dump, a Vancouver special.
I wasn't sure how that went there. But apparently that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how we roll up here.
Mr. Laughing Squid. Scott. Beal.
Right.
Beely?
No, just...
God, damn it, I always want to call you Beely.
Don't give me an extra syllable.
All right. Everyone always gives me an extra syllable. Perillo. And there's no I at the end of it.
Do you ever get Prillopad?
Yeah, I've had that before.
Okay.
That's a given. That's not even a challenge right there.
I know.
You tried, though. I'll give you that.
Well,
is Beely at least creative?
No, they do bagel, beagle,
bagel.
Beagle,
I wouldn't get that
beagle,
at all.
Beagle, maybe.
Well, beagle? last time I saw you, we were having bagels, actually. No, I don't know what we were having. But it was at Gnomedex, I think.
Bar Camp. Bar Camp, and maybe you were down there for some other conference.
I may have been. I'm like one of those people, like, didn't I see you at... No, I wasn't there, but people think I was there.
I and Ohm were talking PageRank or something. It was one of those
Blog Business Summit.
That one.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Can't keep track.
So you just go to every conference that you can possibly get to? Are you like a conference whore?
I was at Web 1.0 during that one.
Oh, yeah? You know, honestly, I was invited to Blog Web 2.0. John Patel invited me before I really knew who he was. I mean, I knew who he was, but I didn't... you know him as well as I do now.
Right.
But he invited me to Blog Web 2.0. I had either choose to do that or to go to MSN Search Champs up in Seattle.
Ah.
And I chose Search Champs, and that, like, steered the course of my life. So now I'm living in Seattle. That's one of the reasons why that
happened.
Oh, you mean
last time around?
Yeah, it was the first Web 2.0
right.
No one knew what it, you know, knew what it was really about.
Okay.
And then
okay.
I got invited to do this, like, closed door.
I thought maybe Scoble was sponsoring you or something.
No, not so much. Although Microsoft definitely supports a lot of the things that we do, and we're
right.
very gracious, you know, for that. Very happy that they could do that.
No,
so
great.
You decided to hit this conference. You had nothing else to do this week.
Oh, you know, I know the bright guys that I all met. I met mostly at Gnomedex.
Yeah.
And they've come down a lot. And also, like I said, just getting a chance to come back to Vancouver. You know, I haven't been here in like 12 years, so.
So, yeah, I interviewed you a while ago. So, anything new that's happening?
Always. A ton of stuff. It's hard to even.
Ton of stuff.
Read my blog.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
But
I
just can't
tell.
Read my blog.
Yeah, I did. I saw you taking a picture. Who was it? Someone had a blanket on as the shirt thing.
Well, no, I didn't take that photo. That's so funny. I gave total. It was a product that somebody released. I just blogged it like thousands of other people.
So, that wasn't you? Something you knew?
It's funny.
Was there?
Yeah, no.
Stock photo, like in the picture frame?
It came from their website.
Which is just ironic because you do photography.
Oh right, but it's not all my. Not all the photos on the website are mine.
Oh, so
and I'll give credit if I know who. There's no credit for that.
Wait, are you saying that you don't actually take photos? You just borrow them from stock images and say they're yours?
No, I take a ton of photos.
Oh, realize? You know, you probably owe us about $1 million of good advertising from Ponzi's chest.
Oh yes,
that laughing squid photos.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone remembers that one.
Yeah,
and of course now she's looking for baby tees for every possible thing that she could possibly.
Everybody
get.
Should do a baby tee. If you start a company and do T-shirts, you have to do the baby tee.
So again, give us for those that missed the first interview, what the hell is Laughing Squid about?
Well,
I mean, like, what does it mean?
Well,
I mean, like, people ask me all the time, what the hell does Locker Gnome mean? And I say, I just read the webpage.
That's what I do. RTFM. I give them a sticker.
Yeah.
We're web hosting. That's the simple answer, but that pays the bills for the not for profit stuff that's, you know, art and culture
like
website.
Traveling to Vancouver.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
Well, I do a blog that's, you know, art and culture and technology stuff and kind of mixing it up, you know, trying to get the geeks aware of more of the art stuff going on, the artists more aware of the technology that they can use. Like, I'm always trying to talk to people in the blogging who don't know much about it.
And, well, you're doing a lot of, I see your name pop up, or at least the Laughing Squid logo pop up again and again with, like, camps, like random camps.
Yeah, we like sponsoring some of these, the unconference type stuff. So we sponsored Bar Camp. We're sponsoring CodeCon this weekend, if you're in San Francisco.
Which No Starch apparently is also sponsoring.
Yeah, No Starch, who we host, which is that's not
really
related.
I didn't know that.
We love the fact that we host No Starch because they're a big Unix publisher.
I responded to them like, so what are you guys doing for them? What are you guys? Because the press release, No Starch, for CodeCon, I wasn't sure what was going. I responded to the press release. It was like kind of nondescript, saying we're doing it. Okay, well, what are you guys doing? what is it? How are you guys doing it? I was looking for more information there
about how the event.
What.
Oh, it's, well, you know, it was co-founded by Bram Cohen of BitTorrent and this guy Len, I forget his last name, and yeah, it's you know, software developers. Well,
Bram kind of
scares,
he kind of scares me. I've never met him before, but man, everything I've heard just kind of scares me. Really freaks me out, you know, quite honestly. I'd be frightened to meet him.
Yeah? Do you think you might scare him too?
I don't think so. I don't scare anybody. That's my schoolboy charm and very relaxed
demeanor.
You
should start with a phone interview with him.
A phoner? I'd be afraid. I really would be afraid.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be afraid I'd slip up, say something, and then he'd end the conversation.
And he'd seed the torrent?
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, you know, I would never be able to download anything through BitTorrent again.
Right, like, he'd blacklist
you. And he doesn't like me anyway because I use uTorrent, which is just a far more usable Windows client. Have you tried? Well, you use OS X, so you wouldn't know. You probably use Azurius.
I have a Windows machine for QA.
Okay. For QA?
You know, quality assurance, you know, when the customers call up and they're like, oh, Outlook is stuck, you know, the email program that hasn't been updated in 4 years.
Tell me about
it. Okay, no. But yeah, and for some things. And also all these betas that only come out in Windows first.
Oh, yeah, of course.
A lot of those.
Naturally.
Right. So, yeah, I use it for that. Games.
It seems that to be the shoe seems to be on the other foot. And I've made note of this, that I think a lot more creative software is being developed for OS X, more so than Windows. That's the way I see it.
I think now, right?
Yeah, the shoe's on the other foot.
No, the guys have to do it. Well, we're talking to, like, the Metro guys. You know, they have a really nice XP client, but they're back, you know?
I don't know about their XP client. I don't know Metro from
go
anybody.
Go look at their...
But,
no.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, honestly, I mean, honestly, interfaces have got it either. They're either okay or they just wow.
But it's first impressions,
away.
Too. See, yeah. And if you go out with this stuff and it's like, then you're not going to come back to it, maybe.
Yep. No, it's completely
But they just,
true.
You know, they came out there and they're like, we're trying to get the, you know, how do we get the geeks using it and stuff like that? Like, well,
be Trillion. I use Trillion for my multi.
Yeah, well, that's
multi
good on Windows Trillion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we use Adium on a Mac, and I think that's kind of a similar thing.
So here's what I'm working. You got to be, of course. It's been going for
right.
a while.
Yeah, you told me about that.
We've got
before we've got
growth. I think we're about 60% growth per month of uniques.
That's
so
excellent.
Yeah, we're doing real well. We get usage in the blogosphere, but you know, Google's got us up to like 1.x million mentions.
Wow.
and whatnot. So we're out there. Let me show you what I'm working on now. It's a service called Trackbacks at trackbacks.at.
Ooh, Austria.
And it's right. You actually knew AT.
I know.
That was my next question.
I know. Austria.
So basically, what this is going to be, we're gonna use this design and then we're gonna port it backwards to Gatsby, but essentially, this link, trackbacks.at, you put that link on any page on your site, put it in your template, whatever, and when someone clicks that link, what it's going to do is it's going to go out to the web, and it's going to bring in, much like Gotta Be brings in random stuff. Here, let's go. Let's just show you. Let's go to 2006. I'm going to take this Northern Voice link, copy and paste it in here. Now, I'm just doing, like, right now, the service isn't live, so I can't necessarily click on the link from that page.
Okay.
But I can actually manually input the URL. So imagine, again, someone clicks on from that URL, clicks on that page, and as long as I've got connectivity, shame my developer may be screwing with it. But essentially on the rendering page, what will happen is as it's going through, what will happen is it will go out to the search engines and pull in all the links that are linking back to that page, in theory.
So inbound links to that URL?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
So track like a hosted trackbacks of sorts.
But multi-search engine too, right?
You multi. Know, just, right. As many as we can find that either output
both
RSS or
regular
API.
Search and blog search, any kind
of
search.
Doesn't matter because you're looking for all – you don't care. You want to know who's linked to that page. And your trackbacks are broken.
So even – so in Uber vanity, beyond the technology vanity search, this is, goes the next step up.
Yeah, because you put it in every – you put the trackbacks.at, just that simple link, in – every page on your site, and when you click on that link from that page,
right. So it just needs to be in a
fancy
template, basically.
Yeah, it's nothing fancy. No plugins to configure. It's just that link. You can put it right next to your regular trackbacks.
Excellent.
It's hosttrackbacks.at.
There's a lot of people trying to get in that real estate. I've noticed a lot of stuff that needs
to be. Oh, of course.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Measure Map, you got to put little stuff in there.
I haven't even heard of that one.
Oh, come on. Measure Map?
No. Well, Measure Map? Maybe I have.
Yeah, you should. If you're a blogger, you should know about it. It's Adaptive Path makes it.
I've heard of Adaptive Path.
Yeah, it's a statistics tracking. It's great. It's real time. So when you blog something, within minutes, you'll see who starts coming to your post. And longer, way before, watch lists and stuff. And it picks up stuff watch lists don't pick up, like people in forums talking about.
Yep.
But it's much easier than trying to parse through all your server logs,
which
you probably
want
once
sure.
a night and run a report.
See, that's the thing. Even as much as we try to do all that, anybody tries to do all that, you're never going to be comprehensive. You're never going to hit it all. It's the biggest challenge with all the data on the web. Now, do you find that going to all the camps that you seem to go to, are people just talking about the stuff just to talk about it or just to be cool? Or are they really doing stuff?
Well, there's a lot of people doing stuff. I mean, it's amazing how much is going
on.
Yeah,
but there's
a lot. It's not going to survive,
right? Because I see a lot of Me Too stuff. You know, I've seen a few people try to launch, almost like a feature replacement. Like, what's the point?
Well, they're all doing. Well, look at the Memorandum, TailRank, all that. There's every day. There's more and more of those things.
Yep.
That's what's so funny. Like something like TechCrunch. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to even keep up with that stuff and the submissions that Mike gets for that website.
Oh, I can imagine.
I mean,
yeah, Mike turned into that just almost overnight. And he was at Gnome Dex last year as well.
And I didn't even meet him. That's what's so funny.
I know, it's crazy.
I met him at BarCamp, and then we started, I thought it was Southern California. Next thing I know, he's having these parties in Atherton. Now they're, filling up instantly.
Yeah,
Are you going to come down for the Roberts?
Everyone keeps asking me. I might.
That might be the last one there, too. I think.
Oh, really?
You
never know.
The neighbors can only handle so much.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. No, I've got – unfortunately, I'm only able to hit these kind of conferences that are close or quick, in and out. If it's convenient for the time slot because, over the course of the next couple of months, I've got certain commitments. We're flying out to SES to cover that.
Right.
And then we're
doing a couple
other shows. Oh, yeah,
March is ridiculous. March is just
insane.
Can people just stay away from March? It's good that you're further out. You're actually beyond most of the stuff I'm going to.
Although I will tell you this, and I haven't really talked about this to a lot of people, but I'm thinking about it. And I'm going to ask certain people to be there, but I'll let you in, and of course anybody listening to this. I'm thinking about doing a Syndicamp up in Seattle.
Interesting.
So RSS OPML, whatever. Conversations.
Will it be confused with Syndicate?
No.
No.
Don't want it to be
not.
Confused with Syndicate.
No, but it will be.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, naturally. But I've already got the URL, syndicamp.com.
And then people might think send to camp.
Send to camp.
Send kid to camp.
Exactly. And so I'm hoping to get all the kids in. I used to be a camp counselor, you know.
Wow.
I really did. I genuinely was for a couple summers. And
don't picture you in the woods.
Yeah. Had problems with that. They don't really cater to introverts as much as you think they would.
Right, because you have to lead the games.
Yeah,
and the
I was the whole yeah.
Wow. So what month would that be?
We don't know. We're actually I'm going back and forth with. I'm possibly going to be working with. Well, I will likely be working with a few people up in that area.
So instead of doing two Gnome Dexes like you're talking about, maybe have two different conferences.
Well, I still want to do more than one Gnome Dex. It's just a different story. Well, actually, no, to tell you the truth, what we're looking for now, I think we're going to be looking for someone to kind of help fund Gnome Dex and to kind of bring it to the level that we want to take it.
Wow.
I've got a few things that I would like to do, but unfortunately, because of our time constraints and our resources, we're able to do one and do one really well, but I think we could duplicate that and without necessarily ruining what it is.
Another city, maybe? Or?
Most likely, yeah. Taking it on a road tour of sorts. Some derivation of, as well as kind of kicking it up. So to take the Gnome Dex brand and actually apply a different thing to it.
Well, Bay Area, it's easy almost because almost
it's
everybody's there.
I know, it's
They're
a
all,
given.
My joke is every time I go to an event in San Francisco, I meet someone who's just moved there. I mean,
really?
It's every single, constantly. Either their company got bought or they just came out. It's happening all again.
But that concerns me. It's San Francisco gets all the love.
I didn't think it needed to happen this time because it's the internet. You can do it from anywhere. Why do
you know?
We have
you know who's up
there?
In Seattle? Jobster, Newsvine, Microsoft.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you know Microsoft is up in Seattle?
Redmond.
I'm pulling your squid tentacle. I'm pulling your tentacles here.
Hey, I know there's stuff everywhere, but it's funny that the companies are already established, but the new guys all seem to come out there.
Almost out of the woodwork.
Or they relocate to there.
Okay, so what do you think? And I'm probably going to ask this of everybody up here, especially people who are kind of involved in this space, the blogosphere, and these new things and exciting things that are happening. Web 2.0, is it real or is it just another buzzword?
That is so... I'm so tired of that. I mean, why...
You're tired of what?
That term. O'Reilly's
okay,
doing
thank
that
you.
Event
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really kind of embarrassing to do that. Like, by the time... When does that happen? Summer? It's... you know, it's like dog years. I mean, like, those months, by the time you get to summer, it's just going to sound wrong.
But now has it transcended what it originally was as a conference, which was just, you know, fantastic?
I mean, the average guy on the street doesn't even know what that is yet, so you can't even get them to understand it. Then the people marginally know aren't quite sure.
Well, honestly, I think it's been fantastic, and I think what O'Reilly has done has been very positive. We almost gave an energy to something that we kind of knew was there, but we really couldn't define it. We still can't define it.
Right. That's, I know.
And I think we kind of latched onto that as a name, but now, unfortunately, it's self-perpetuating. So now you get the idea, you know, you have like Web 2.0 Bingo or Web 2.0 buzzwords that
Web,
you know.
Well, we had Web 1.0. Chris here did Web 2.1.
2.1.
And then people, I always see 3.0 in articles. Linux Journal, right? In the editor, whatever, you know, 3.0.
Oh,
so that's in Linux Journal, just like one step removed.
Now, here's the thing.
This,
I was ready to say, you know, hey, we're Gnomedex 6.0. We're way beyond.
Right.
You guys are screwing around with threes and twos, and I'm already on six. So I'm just that far ahead of you. Way far ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's a need for a term. I guess people like to, whatever, you know.
They feel like they want to identify with something, and that's what they want to latch on.
Because the first time was the first time. There was
before. But it's causing almost another bubble of sorts.
Well,
I really do.
It's causing people to... There's a frenzy to get into this whole area, and the VCs are going nuts, and they've got the money to spend, and they're going to spend it on anything. I mean, I didn't see it last time. Last time it wasn't so accessible for just anyone to go to. Like, the things were more
private. What do you mean? Like,
the events and stuff, like, you know, when they had last time around, because it was the first time, and it would be like...
You mean the 90s?
Person.
You mean the first...
Yeah.
The first internet, right.
Way
back when, right.
Now it's like... I think it's because of open source. There's a lot more collaboration, and these events are open. And you have competitors showing demos to each other. I mean, literally competitor, like a TechCrunch and stuff. Like, wow, this is crazy that they're, you know, doing all this in a public forum like this, which is great. It's actually a great thing. I think open source has a lot to do with that, and a lot of them are using those tools.
Opening the kimono. Now, what I found kind of odd in seeing, you know, you mentioned Chris Huer with the Brain Jams, or what is it? What was it? Web 2.1?
That turned into Brain Jams, yeah.
And a lot of these conferences, even Northern Voice kind of pays homage to Gnomedex for some reason, and I don't understand that. I mean,
oh, you mean included in the list?
Yeah, like, of the things that
kind of... they're not thinking of some big O'Reilly conference or something or some...
Oh, come on! I mean,
no,
what?
I know you want that, but I'm saying...
No, I didn't. It's not necessarily that I do want that, but...
It's still affordable,
no, I
right?
understand. I was being facetious there, like, you know.
And also, it's still smaller and intimate. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
It's just... That's something that has baffled me
for the
first time. Because
your programming's not open ahead of time. Like a lot of these are open programming or, you know, schedule a day of the event. Like right? That's a little different, which, you know, I don't... It's...
We haven't even announced anything yet. Well, at the time that I'm recording this with you, we haven't really said yes.
But
this is what we're
happen.
Doing. Yeah, we don't know.
But you also, I think maybe because it's grassroots, where you started as a little thing and kept growing and growing and growing with you weren't advertising it.
That's
with,
the way it's. I want it to remain. I mean, there are certain things that I want to keep in this walled, protected area, like, and protect it like with a shield and a sword. It's one of those things that I care a lot about. Is that because it's. It's turned into, you know, Locker Gnome has evolved over the years. I mean, since when we first met.
Yeah. No, you were the guy from Iowa doing that website.
That thing, right.
We don't know what it – what is that? Locker Gnome?
You know, I still have the video that Tor Hyams did for Wild Wild Web years ago for Webzine 99. I sent it to you.
Yeah?
I sent it to you. Remember – no, who did I send it to? If it wasn't you, then who did I send? Was it Ryan that I sent it to?
Was it on? Oh yeah, Ryan probably has.
I sent it to someone who was working
Ryan's
on
a video guy.
The latest webzine. I said, hey, I've got this. Yeah, it was one of the coordinators, and I sent it to him, and he said, Chris Perillo saved the video from. Yeah, so it was Webzine 99.
No, it was weird because when you were even in San Francisco, we didn't really see each other.
No,
later
no.
on.
Like, no, not I, when I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, and then what? LA, and then now here or in Seattle. So
This is Seattle Junior. I mean,
I
let's
know,
be
I
honest.
Say that.
You know. It's America light.
Seattle with an accent, yes.
Although I love being up here for a weekend because then I start listening because I was an English major, so I studied inflection and tone and all that stuff. So dialogue and dialect, and so I'm listening for the subtleties, and then I'll walk into a store and try to order something and just pass myself off as a Canadian. I can't do it right now because I haven't been hearing it enough, but it's all in the O's. And it's not like, you know...
Then they give you the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't normally.
Like, I asked for, like, postage stamps, but I ask it in a Canadian way. Try to say postage stamps in a Canadian way, and it sounds different. Because I sound like I'm from Iowa. Postage stamps! You know? Very nasally. Postage stamps! And they give me the crappy stamps. You know, the one with the duck. You know, I want, you know, the good stamps. And so then I ask for it in the Canadian way. They give me
right.
the primo.
Nude images on
The very good stuff. So.
Yeah. No, that's great.
But they don't want us to miss America up here because in the hotel. Are you staying at the Hampton Inn,
yeah,
too? Apparently, this is the swank, the Hampton Inn in it Vancouver.
It is actually the nicest Hampton Inn. I stay in a
it's
lot of them.
It's scary, but I actually
like,
agree
why
with
is
you.
This a, this is, it,
we got a suite.
Really?
No, I mean, we have a suite, like two rooms and everything.
Oh, really?
We're,
yeah,
we're paying like $64 or something
no,
like that.
No, I know. It's great. I like, well, I like them because they're consistent in the Wi-Fi and all that stuff.
Oh, and the Continental. Can I say this again? Continental breakfast.
Right. Yeah, it's great. They always have coffee in the lobby. I mean, they're, you know, see, this is a good plug. You should have them as a sponsor.
What, Hampton Inn?
No. Well, actually, they
talk to her. She Ponzi's the one who does
Hampton
all the
Inn's too far from Nomdex. I actually spec it out.
Really?
I think so, because I would have stayed there.
Well, yeah, we kind of open it for someone actually has used it now because the way we did it, saying, hey, stay at whatever hotel you want.
Yeah.
People actually appreciated us doing that last
it's
year.
It's easier.
Said,
well, if you had it at a hotel, then there's this, you feel like you kind of have to be at the hotel.
Have to be there,
like,
E-Tech
is at
right.
this really expensive hotel.
Yep.
They're going to charge for Wi-Fi, and I'm going to say, who cares, because I'll be using EVDO.
Yep. Actually, I'm going to be encouraging that this year at Nomdex. We told them they have to do it the same way they did it the second day where it was better managed.
Right.
We only have two T1s because if we had three, I'd have to charge like more money for people. I'm like, I'm really not into that. So I'm going to say
$5 off for EVDO.
Right, exactly. Bring your EVDO. If you have an EVDO card or some high speed,
I will.
Bring it because that will help alleviate
just
the traffic.
Where,
so.
That is where when Phil Trone, where I first met at Nomdex,
yeah.
is the EVDO evangelist that talked me into using it.
Mm.
And then at Webzine, he didn't touch the network.
Oh, of course.
Not at all. Even his presentation up at the
yep.
podium.
It's the only way to
and
go.
Then, and then Owen Malik talked about it quite a bit and stuff. And that's why I'm glad like Robert Scoble's gone the singular way. And all these guys complaining about conferences without Wi-Fi, they should fork out the $60.
Yeah,
because
honestly, it's well, it's
they travel a lot.
It's more realistic this year than it even was last year.
Yeah, Verizon, the city count is.
Yep.
I have yet to find a city. Even here, it's a little slower, but.
Well, I had Verizon until I just felt like they were screwing me, and I just got out.
You can go
Sprint. I'm in Singular now, and you know, for the most part, I'm happy in the sense that I at least have a SIM card, a SIM chip, so I can put it in a smartphone. I get Pocket PC. I can
right.
put it in a Nokia device. So I'm really happy with that. That angle of it, because I feel less locked in than I have before,
right.
in other senses.
No, it's great. No, so, things are well. The other thing, as I mentioned, that this year is starting so much faster than last year. Like, oh,
you mean January? Like,
oh,
bam,
yeah,
right
January was. No, I mean, last year January was nowhere near this January.
You mean okay? So you're talking
like just stuff,
energy
this,
level, or stuff that was
just
happening.
Stuff going on in the whole this whole web
space.
The arena. I can't say space.
Why not?
I don't know because someone says, "So you're working at space."
Sphere.
Yeah, I'm in
Can
space.
You say Sphere?
No, I can't. I know. It is funny, the whole Geek Entertainment TV always makes fun. It just the buzz. I mean, the buzzwords
yeah.
were hilarious. I mean, but they were there last time, too.
It gets maddening after a little while.
It's tough. And then you start talking to you know,
like
regular people that you're friends with, and they're like, what are you saying? Like, it's. I can't. Sometimes I'll have to try to explain something, and I have to keep backing up. Like, I'll say, you know, don't use this RSS. Get, oh, no, okay. Then, you know, like you have to keep backing up with the terminology. Because you make so many assumptions. Because we have these kind of. I had a friend who moved out to San Francisco recently from San Antonio, and he couldn't believe he could have these conversations. He felt guilty talking about sysadmin stuff or web
and
stuff.
And naked conversations.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's what is that? It's in the book too.
Well, I'm just saying. He
oh,
felt
the general.
Like,
yeah,
and he felt clothed.
And, back,
and now he feels
back
naked.
There, he's like, right. He's like, you know, like I can't talk about that stuff, and they get mad at me. And in here, and then you totally get the geek out. I took him, you know, like he met. You know, Ohm and Mike and Arrington and Matt Mullenweg and all
yeah.
these people, and he was allowed to talk like
out
this.
Loud. It's okay.
He really, and in fact, encouraged, he's like, God, these guys, do they really talk about this stuff? I'm like, yeah, actually, all the time.
All
you know?
The time.
It's like, that's the problem. But,
naturally.
But
so.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. So this year, I can't imagine, like, by the time we get to the conference run in March, which just seems crazy,
yeah.
where we're going to be, you know.
What is happening in March? There's a.
Well, there's E-Tech, there's South by Southwest.
Yeah, South by South. That's where I'm going, South by Southwest.
There's the Mix06 thing now that Microsoft's
that's
doing.
Right.
I assume they're going there probably.
Looking for sponsorship, but yeah.
Right.
Hopefully we'll be able to get there.
And
so.
then wasn't there something about PC Forum?
I'm not sure.
Tell someone blog.
It's
oh,
impossible.
Weiner's going
though.
To that now.
Okay.
Like, because TechCruncher's going. I mean, there's some. Oh, no, Edgio. It's so. You know, the funny thing, like, back to my friend who moved out here, it's just a good example. Like, I started talking about stuff like, oh, yeah, you know about this thing, and dodgeball. And all these. He's like, how do you know all this stuff? Like, I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's really kind of not that, it, you know, we just know it.
Yeah.
But to someone, they're
it's
like, how do you keep track of this stuff? And in fact, we all don't know, you know, like you mentioned Measure Map, it wasn't an immediate connection.
Yeah.
And then you could mention 10 things that I've never heard of, but probably just right next to, or there's the invite that I haven't actually
done.
Yeah,
of course.
Man, you know, the other thing, the bookmark for betas in my browser, I have a beta, right? That's ridiculous. That could be a true example of what we're doing right now.
I'm going to push the envelope. I'm looking for a new Greek letter, and that's where I'm going to launch everything
deltas,
in it.
Epsilons,
I'm going to got to find my favorite Greek letter, and I'm going to just use it.
Or Zeta, you know, just to go right
Zeta.
There.
Just say we're just
so it's like beta,
screw
but,
y'all.
But faster.
Like yeah, we're like
beta,
Z-level.
But faster to production as a Zeta. I don't know.
Zeta might work. Well, then people will think I'm making fun of beta. They may not know Zeta as a letter of the Greek alphabet.
Right.
Alpha.
So, see,
alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Yeah, upsilon.
Upsilon.
That sounds automata.
How about it? And I can spell it. Double O.
Hey, we can have oops salons.
Oops, what?
We can have an oops salon.
Oh, and then where you can dye people's hair red?
No, you know, they have tech salons all the time. Well, we do in our city.
Oh, okay. Am I missing something? Are you just like
salon.
Yanking my...
No, you know, like a salon, like a where you have people talk about stuff. I mean, that's maybe more in the art world, but there's, you know,
oh, see, I'm not...
But no, I mean, like a salon is, you know, get people who are talking about things and common interests.
So it has nothing to do with hair?
No. I don't know. We must have the origins there. Yeah, you're thinking a place. Go get your hair done.
Yeah, when someone says salon, that's what I think.
Go dye your hair, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would have done that, but I'm not into the whole talking thing.
No, you don't like talking.
Oops, salon.
Yeah, but would it fly?
No one would understand
it. You'd probably be able to get the URLs if you needed to. Or...
Most likely. Lambda. Lambda. That's the version we're in.
That's right. That was the...
In Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
And that sounds like an animal.
Lambda?
Yeah, it's like a llama and a lamb.
I guess you're right.
Or no.
Llama,
duh?
Lamb, and what ends in duh? Duh.
No.
Animal that
no
ends
duh.
In duh. No duh? That's not an animal.
Oh, animal. Yeah, I don't know.
Duh. Squid duh? No.
When you ask these questions on your podcast, do people comment then on the podcast
no,
and answer these questions?
Never. Ever. I get like two emails if I'm lucky.
See, once we have good search for these podcasts where you can search the words in the podcast, God, can you imagine how much better you would search rank if all the words you've said on your podcast were searchable?
I'd be scared.
And then all those terms would show up.
I don't want anybody transcribing anything I say. Because I've done it before. When I was writing one of my books, I did it like, I'm speaking into the microphone, and this is what I say. And it came back to me. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But it's going to happen. That's right. First is the audio stuff, and then somehow eventually video where they can even like identify images. I mean, that's right. You know, Google's absolutely working on that.
They're trying to, at least. I don't know.
I mean, all of them probably are.
They're too busy being evil.
Right.
They just released the Google Desktop 3.0, too.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried about that, though.
People are having concerns. Yeah.
I had concerns at 1.0, and I was like, and then now it's at 3.0. Apparently, 2.0 I completely missed.
If you're really into the whole Google dirt, have you looked at the new Gawker blog that just launched in our town?
Oh, the
Valleywag?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's a little Google
Nick.
Obsessive. Nick.
Is it?
You know,
yeah,
Nick?
Yeah. I've known Nick from, like, when he was
from
doing Blogeverity.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
I'm not kidding. Like, Nick and I be totally, like, IMing each other just randomly.
Well, you'll see him
stuff,
all the time now when you come down there. But the funny thing is, he's a little Google obsessive. So when you go to the blog, it's.
I think he's trying
to get to some other stuff now.
Yeah.
But it was really. You know.
Well, I just hope he doesn't forget the people that, you know, were there for
him. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I interviewed him when he was somebody, and now he's really somebody, so.
Yeah, well, and you might be, you're like slightly outside his range of,
I know, I'm in
to
Seattle,
attack, so
right.
You're okay, like he's not going to.
No, I want to be attacked. I mean, what he used
it's
to,
good press.
I loved it. I would link it to him, like, hey, check this stuff out, look what I'm doing here.
You got to come down and do something. And
do something stupid.
Yeah, come down, but do it, you know, do it in conjunction with Silicon Valley. Well, it would be.
Do
anyway.
Something stupid in Silicon Valley.
I think so.
Like visit.
Or not stupid, but something controversial.
I thought you were going to say conjugal. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not in jail yet. But if I do something stupid in San Francisco, you never know.
Yeah, maybe it's stupid. Yeah, whatever. It's funny because it's like, you know, just, well, yeah, and it's like have a weird picture taken. That's not hard because I think there's plenty of those.
Me? Yeah. It's
not,
a given.
You're too easy. Like, you're not.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
Well, I'm saying like a challenging target for that because you're not going to care.
I didn't put out
you're
with you until our second date, so don't even tell me I'm easy.
I'm saying you're not the guy that's going to call the lawyer, right?
Oh, no.
And say, take that image down.
No.
Because
he's
done
I
that.
Don't care.
He's learned that you got to download it. You got to keep the image because they'll just pull him. There was something recently. I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting because he came from some, you know, he wasn't in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And Nick brought him in and different scene there. I mean, I don't think we really care as much. Oh, there were naked people at the Flickr party. Okay, so.
And? Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's new, right?
There were naked people at the Flickr party?
The Flickr, the first
party.
Oh,
that's right.
In the cafeteria, Yahoo cafeteria, which is pretty, you know, you don't see that every day.
No. Wow.
So, see, maybe your listeners will look that up now.
Yeah. I'm gonna let some obscure search engine from the middle of nowhere, from Tonga, pick me up. That's it. They're going to buy me. They're going to acquire me for $25.
Oh, they're going to, right?
That's my cash out option. Yeah.
Interesting. So, the king of Tonga.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. It's right, the end game for me.
Yeah, so instead of B, it would be 2.
Kind of, yeah.
2B.
I'll just... Or yeah. Not.
Right.
So anyway, so yeah. I don't want to hold you back here.
Oh, well, not too much. But yeah, you should grab some of the other fine folks that are surrounding us here.
I don't know who...
There's Identity Women. There's Eddie, of course.
So I'm supposed to talk to the XML chick? What's her name?
Kyla? She's, yeah. Who else? I don't know everybody here, but...
I don't know anybody.
Bring over your producer.
I went with a chai latte. Not great.
No?
I'm not. I had a quick coffee.
They have good lattes here. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had to.
And you live in Seattle. That's a constant temptation.
Oh, God, it sucks.
Oh, man.
I'll have a pizza every once in a while, but... Anyway, so I'll send you... When this starts going...
Yeah, that's great.
We'll have like a beta sign up form or whatever, but we've got to like limit it at the beginning because we want to make sure we're doing the right
servers
things.
Don't
and,
get,
yeah.
Yeah. No,
well, I'm not worried about the server so much. I mean, we're gonna get hammered. We're gonna say throw another server in there now.
You're
bam,
get
bam.
The Scoble Weiner double whammy, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
That's so funny how it works.
Well, as soon as Mike saw this, he's like,
"Oh, Mike too? Yeah."
He's like, "Well, I explained him the concept. He hasn't even seen it. I said, I explained the concept. Like, this is what it is, and this is how. Boom, boom, boom." And he's like, "Oh." Wow.
And I said, he'll want to use that.
Well, yeah, he's like, yeah, I said, I totally use that. He said, well, you need to make a plugin. Blah, blah, blah. I said, no. You don't understand. It's just this link. You don't need a plugin. It's just this link, this trackback set. And then he got it. He's like,
do you go to the page? You get an RSS feed off it?
You can. Well, I think we'll be generating RSS
feeds
from the pages that you can subscribe to track the conversation.
Right.
The swarming around that link in particular.
Wow.
So.
I like the comment stuff that's come out lately, too.
Yeah, the co-comments. That
I guess there's another
exploded.
One. Yeah, that went nuts.
I'm surprised. I mean, good, bad, I can't get a read on it.
But, you know, I have to. I don't comment as much as some people, so it's probably not
I don't either. I never. I mean, I comment every once in a while.
When well, it's funny. If they probably mention your name, you come in.
Oh, naturally,
right?
It's called the Perillo effect.
When they evoke, it's like a D&D thing.
It's
like,
seriously.
Conjure Perillo or conjure whoever.
Yeah. That's
I
how,
love doing
that's
it to
happens.
People who I know aren't going to know that this is a thing yet.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, wow, you're fast. How'd you do that?
Yeah, I know.
I'm as fast as Technorati, I guess.
Someone got mad at me. They said he posted something disparaging in his live journal blog. It was a tech TV viewer. And he said, and I posted him like, well, blah 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 blah. He's like, you know, Googling your name is a really bad thing. I'm like, Google, I use RSS, you know. So Kalia?
Kalia, yeah.
Kalia. Did someone lose a bet or?
No.
It's a nice name, and don't get me wrong. It's
okay.
You never hear it. I mean, usually...
It's totally unique, I know.
Completely. Well, at least, you know, as far as I'm American. What do I know?
Yeah.
Don't hold it against me, though.
I don't.
So, okay, so tell
I
me
I live
this.
In San Francisco, actually.
Oh, okay, well, then you're good.
I hang out with the identity guys.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so you'd know Eric, is it Norlin?
Yeah, Eric
and,
Norlin.
And Doc and that whole crew. All right.
That whole crew.
All right. I know. Yeah.
I'm Identity Woman, in case you didn't know.
So are you in costume right now? Do you wear a cape? Do you have a mask that you go out fighting identity things?
Well, you know, there's a kind of joke around that I'll come out on stage one day dressed up, but we'll see.
It's not going to... You don't think it's going to happen? Someone just hasn't gotten the costume for you.
Right, right. Like, when we figure that out, we'll do it.
Do you have inspiration for a costume that you would wear?
Well, I kind of want to do, like, some sort of water-based figure.
Oh, okay. I can
you
see
know,
that.
Like, because I was an athlete. I played water polo for Canada.
Oh, really? I'm not even going to make a water polo joke.
No, don't
I'm
try.
I'm not, because you've heard it all. I guarantee you
I have.
Okay, so Kalia, did you say, is it a Hindu word?
Oh, it's from Hindu mythology.
Mythology, okay. So is it a name of a goddess, I'd assume?
It's a sea serpent that Krishna tames with love. So I have Krishna's footprint on my forehead.
Now, do you think that has some reason why you decided to do the water polo thing and you've got this water thing going on? Or
maybe.
Are you the sign of the Aquarius? If you're looking at your astrological...
No, I'm a Virgo.
A Virgo.
But The whole water thing is really trippy, though, because, you know, I didn't even know what my name meant until I typed it into the internet when I was in college.
Really? You didn't ask your parents? Or
no, they didn't know.
They just... Well, how'd you get the name?
I don't know.
You were born, and, hey, you know, it looks like a Kalia to me, you know, and that's what you
got.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. So as identity woman,
yeah.
Do you fight crimes, identity crimes, identity theft?
Oh, I just got identity thefted myself, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Someone took my credit card number, but it was a debit card, so they drained my bank account to minus
$1,300.
It was really unpleasant, actually. And then people in the identity world will tell you that that's not identity theft because they just took an identifier that's yours, your credit card number, and, like, used it. So technically it's not, but...
I got to tell you a story. You're not going to believe me if I tell you.
Okay.
You won't believe me. I guarantee you will not believe me.
Okay.
Day after Christmas.
Yeah.
I go in with my fiance to a store.
Yeah.
Where we bought this stuff. It's apparently an expensive store. There, it's half off.
Yeah.
So she was attracted to the sale like a fly to sugar.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing in line waiting because there's a long line. She's going shopping and stuff. This girl behind me is talking on her cell phone.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 talking to her friend. Yeah, can you transfer? I need $300 transfer from this account to that account, but don't tell Dad because he'll get upset because he doesn't want to. I don't want him to know that I'm spending $300 of his money and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm laughing to myself. I can't see her. She's behind me. I'm like playing a game. I'm glad she's not my daughter. You know, I'd just kill her.
Yeah.
And so she goes on. She said, okay, but you're going to need my bank account number, which is blah, 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 blah.
Right, and she says it right in public.
That's just the beginning of the story.
No.
And then you're going to need my password, which is blah, 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 blah. I'm not done yet. And then she says, and then you're going to need my social security number, which is blah, 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 blah. Cell phone, broad daylight.
Like, that's
right
crazy.
Out in the open.
Yeah.
Swear to God it happened. And so as much as, you know, we do this stuff and worry about this stuff online, there's a lot of stuff that's happening offline that we just don't think about.
Yeah. Well, like a lot of the insecurity around data systems is actually human error and stupid stuff like that. That it's not encrypted well.
And I'm very insecure. I just don't like... Are you a little afraid of the mic there?
It just feels like it's right next to my
It's okay.
Mouth.
It's not going to... I swear to God, it will not move.
Okay.
Now, have I made you insecure?
No, I'm fine.
It's okay. So...
So the identity gang that I'm a part of...
do you guys have initiation rites? Like, you know, you beat up each other's computers to get in?
Yeah.
Do you roll like that?
No, not quite. But it really is called the Identity Gang.
You
go to identitygang.org, and you can come and hang out with us. We'll invite you to our lists and stuff. And
there's no hazing, initiation, or anything like that?
No. You have to like going to conferences where the agenda is decided when you get there that day.
Oh, okay. So you show up in the hopes that something will happen.
Yeah, but great stuff happens. So last time we had the Internet Identity Workshop, that was in October.
Yes.
We had a day of papers and a day of open space where the community talked, and we got a new interoperability protocol initiated that day.
Do tell. No, sure.
It's called YADIS. YADIS. And you can go to YADIS.org and check it out. But it's a discovery protocol so that people who are using URL-based identifiers, think OpenID, which every live journal user has. This is the alternative to Typekey that Brad Fitzpatrick invented. So if you own a URL, you can make it into an OpenID.
Okay. So what does this do? What does it do for me, though? I mean, honestly. So I got an OpenID. What can I do with this?
You can go and sign in and comment on blogs using your OpenID.
Yeah, but how does it know it's me?
Because it goes and checks that you own that blog.
Yeah, but
that
has
URL.
Okay, so there's apparently some kind of
server behind it.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's like an OpenID
so
server.
So I couldn't take your URL and say, hey, this is me. I'm Kalia.
Right.
Even if I dressed up as a water creature that, who tamed again?
Krishna?
Mm-hmm. He tamed? All right.
Yeah.
My name's Chris, so, you know,
yeah.
I've got no creative story behind my name. It's just, you know, it's everybody is named Chris anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so YADIS is pretty cool because you can go and use LID, lightweight identity, or you can use an iName.
Hmm.
And you can, at least end users are not going to have to know the kind of URL they have to log in. The YADIS is going to help them figure that out.
You know, it took me long enough to get her to understand what RSS was. How the hell are we going to make this thing easier for people to use?
Right.
Or just
so
to understand.
There's some stuff happening. So, like, Microsoft is going to do info cards in its next release of Vista.
Okay.
or not in next release, in Vista.
In Vista, right. Sure,
yes,
sure, yeah.
So Info Cards is like this UI that people would use to log in to websites or pay for stuff. That's way more secure than what we do now, which is type stuff into little boxes on screens that we aren't really sure if they're secure. So
I'm interested in hearing more about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's seriously, I mean, well, with Microsoft, of course, when you talk identity, I'm thinking Passport. So how is this different from Passport?
So the folks in the user-centric identity community are really committed to building decentralized identity systems.
Meaning nobody owns it.
Right, and that they're open source based. Well, not all the code's going to be open source, but there's going to be open source implementations of a bunch of this
naturally,
stuff.
Naturally, yeah.
Right, so Skip's got open source code, and there's an open source iBroker that works with iNames and other stuff. So, and then open standards are critical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You got to build to the standards, and thankfully iNames have gone through the OASIS process, so they're now an open standard that we can use.
But when are we going to hit critical mass with it? I mean, what's it going to take before anybody starts using it? Like, for instance, RSS was around. I mean, people were using it. Weiner had it, you know, in radio user land for years. I mean, it was this river of news thing, and, you know, there, a few people had feeds. But then when movable type came out, and everybody started using that, it was automatically publishing RDF, RSS. It was making these feeds, and then people started wondering, well, what the hell is this? And then they were able to figure out and use this with that and this with that, and then it just kind of now exploded.
Yeah.
So what do you think it's going to take to reach critical mass with an open identity system?
So I think one is there's a lot of pain right now around login, right? Like, how many wikis are you on? A lot, probably.
God. I don't even know what the... I'm dyslexic, so to me it's a kiwi.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty good. So
they didn't warn you when you sat down that you were talking to a guy who had ADD, did they?
No, it's okay. We all have to have it to function in this industry, don't
it
we?
It seems to be, yeah.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Throw in some Asperger's, too.
And, oh, God, okay, yeah, we need some of that.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, I don't have.
Okay, good, yeah.
Not that I know of. You would know by now, I'm sure, if I had Asperger's syndrome.
You probably don't.
Yeah, I would have screamed you out of the room.
So, like, I was just at Recent Changes Camp, and there was a whole...
Recent Changes Camp? God, this is a new one.
Yeah. The wiki community put it on.
Okay. Recent Changes. and that makes sense, because Media Wiki, Recent Changes, got it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And they also had
Not very creative, by the way. I mean, you could have come up with something a little different than that, you know?
It's pretty creative, though.
Recent, okay, it's more like an inside joke creative than like, oh, it's Recent Changes.
Right.
Okay, so what did they do at, other than trying to explain to people what Recent Changes Camp was and how to use it?
Right. Well, in Identity Land, we had a conversation with the wiki people because it's a big deal. So
you guys
people
have riots
are really
there?
Interested in, what single sign-on might do. But,
yeah.
You know, there's not that many wiki platforms. There's a lot of them, but, you know, it's some, you know, mass of code that could actually get a bunch of identity stuff put into the next versions of a bunch of people's wikis, and then you'd have single sign-on in Wikiland.
Now, is that what you do for your day job? You just identity things all the time? Or
Yeah.
Do you identify things, or you just identity things?
Well, I'm a upstanding member of the identity community, and I am their part of their public outreach arm to the rest of the geek community and to normal human beings on the street who might use this. You know, sometimes I tell people about my secret powers.
Oh, Susie, I knew it. I knew you were a superhero. I just knew it. I could feel it in my bones. I knew it. You've got a cape underneath that coat. I know you do.
Yeah.
You've got a mask, like, hiding and everything like that.
Yeah. So I can explain next generation digital identity to normal people.
All right, so pretend I'm a normal people then. I'm a normie here, okay?
Normie.
I just got my blog on MySpace. I've got AOL Instant Messenger. I log on to the internet, and I steal porn. So explain the digital identity thing to me.
You know how you log into all those websites?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't it drive you a little crazy?
I just use the same password, G-O-D. That's it.
Yeah, I know. And... you know, that's really insecure and pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Yeah. What we would love it is if you had your own identity that you could go and take, instead of a website giving you one, or, you know, you try that handle, God, and someone else has it.
God,
don't
I
you hate that?
Because I'm like, God, 5437-9281.
Right.
So
there's
places.
Always namespace issues, and there's some in this space, too. But, you know, if you had one that you could go and take and use in a bunch of different places, and that you would manage and control, you know, how many organizations do you belong to?
Oh, God. Let's see here. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I can't even name them.
Probably,
I can't even
begin. Like, at least a half a dozen.
Probably, yeah.
Right. So, and every time you move, you have to send them a postcard and tell them where you moved to?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they follow me. Like, I signed up for Baskin-Robbins kid birthday thing.
Yeah?
I'm still getting treats to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how they find you?
I don't know. They just follow. Maxim Magazine has done the same thing. I don't know how. How
wow.
do they? By the way, how do they do that?
That's,
seriously, it does happen.
The
they chase
cloud.
Me. Oh, is that
Ooh.
A bad thing?
Yeah.
Is that like where Lando Calrissian's from in Star Wars, the data cloud city?
Yeah. Well, there's a digital dossier about you in the sky, and they're pulling the data down from there.
Google.
I doubt it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a whole world of information brokers and data brokers who are trading information about us without our permissions. It's because we don't have privacy laws like they do in Europe.
But why don't we have control of our own identity? Why can someone sell our stuff, our information, without our permission? How come that is the case?
Because we haven't created the legal structures to protect against it.
Yeah, but even with legal, I mean, spam is illegal and people still spam. So what's legality going to do with anything?
Well, spam's different. It's like random individuals sending you stuff.
In
Europe, there's a whole set of privacy laws that say, like, when you disclose information, companies must disclose the uses, and they treat it really much more seriously than we do here.
Well, here they treat it like I get a document in the mail that is got fine print that, you know, even if I had eyes that could read that, I still couldn't read it.
Right, exactly. So that's the problem. One of the things that Identity Commons is going to work on.
Oh, this is a new one here? The Identity Commons?
Identity Commons, yeah.
Is that a part of your gang? Is that where you meet, in the Identity Commons?
Yeah, we like to think so.
Okay.
We hope so. Well, Identity Commons is actually tech neutral, so there's a bunch of competing standards right now. And Identity Commons is looking at, well, it doesn't really matter about the standards. It does, but how do we get users to be able to understand it, right? So we're talking about doing identity rights agreements, sort of modeled on a similar model to Creative Commons, where you have an icon and your human readable deed and a legal contract and some metadata stuff. And that this is what you would, that people would be presented these instead of EULAs. Like, who the heck reads EULAs and user license agreements? You just get the legal layer, and like, you're supposed to understand what it means. And We hope that this can help actually support some of the emergence of these new identity standards, so people trust the terms that they're sharing their data and they're clear.
This pays the bills for you then, doing this?
Being Identity Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So
you came here in your Learjet and you got driven from the airport to the...
No.
Oh.
But
so it's not big yet, but you know, it's going.
Yeah. No, I am happy to take inquiries from anyone who wants to get to know the community and find out about iNames and data sharing and all the stuff that those folks are doing.
So do you consider yourself more a recruiter or an educator?
I would say I'm an educator first, recruiter second. My goal is to be helpful, and I'm really inspired by the power of these user-centric tools to make the world better for people.
When did you get started in all this stuff?
Well, it all started in California, and I would go to these really inspiring events, and they would, at the end of it, they'd give you a white piece of paper, and they'd say, here's everybody's name and email. Good luck building a social movement. And I'd be like, I've been seeing some of those pre-Friendster social networking tools, and we could use some upgrade in this, you know, white paper technology. And I'm still working on that project, actually, and it was through the community called PlanetWork that I actually got into technology and the whole stuff. So that's a network. It's like planet and network mushed together, and it's a whole network at the intersection of IT and social and environmental good.
Intersection. I haven't heard that term used in a pitch for ages.
Well, you know, that's what we do. So through that community, they got really into identity because they had this meeting in 1999 that was like 50 environmental groups in the Presidio going, how do we all cooperate? Like, and a bunch of people were like, I'll build the big amoeba site and everyone will join my site and that's how we're going to cooperate. And like, that doesn't work, right? You need autonomy and boundaries, but you also need to be able to move between different sites and, you know, have an identity that's yours, that you control and manage. And so they kind of really early on sort of keyed into this identity issue, and the community had this series of think tanks kind of meetings for, I guess, 18 months between 2000 and 2001, and they published the Augmented Social Network paper. And that's where I got really inspired, because it just talks about the big vision of what happens when you start to have user-centric identity online. And the, you know, you could be here and you could, you know, put out into the cloud of your friends, like, I'm in downtown and I want to ride to, like, the other side of town. Are any of you going there? But because you've got this web of trust, you know, that, not so much trust, it's like, why, when you go to a social network, do you have to, like, re-invite all your friends into this new silo,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's crazy.
Right? I want to have my identity, and I have all my friends, and then when I go to a new place, they all those links come with me.
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't FOF supposed to take care of that?
So FOF is, like, hashed email addresses, right? So people are concerned about it as being insecure, and it doesn't really deal with all the nuances of permissions and persistent linking and folks working, like, on XRI and XDI, the data web, are looking at this persistent linking and how do we stay in touch with people over time and have their permission to stay in touch with them.
Well, what about Steve Gilmore's attention trust? I mean, how's that play into that?
We're similar, right? So they are making the assertion that people have the right to their own attention data, which is vital and important. And a corollary, like, related to that is that I have control over my identity data. So personally identifying information about me is different than my attention data.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, they're distinct, but they're similar.
I guess I've never really, I've never thought about it. I just kind of, I go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I have to log in again, or I have to get a new login and password.
Right. So does that work? I mean, we
does
can,
it work? It
we
works.
Can deal
it's
with
pain.
It because we're geeks, right? But
right.
Can your mom deal with
oh,
it?
Oh, no.
Right.
Even when she has to deal with it, she can't deal with it.
Yeah.
It's a pain.
Yeah.
How soon?
Pain.
How soon are we looking at here?
So Yadis is about to get to a 1.0 spec, which is exciting. And OpenID already, I think, is working. So iNames will be launching their global services in April. InfoCards is going to be shipping with Vista whenever that ships.
And it's all interoperable. Well, I don't want, let me put it this, I don't want another HD DVD Blu-ray thing going on here.
Well, I think the community in the Identity Gang is talking seriously about how to make real interoperability happen. And you have to think, too, there's two ends. There's the needs of the high volume sites that need high security, and then there's, like, everyone else, like, you know, the two heads of the tail. And for, you know, one head of the tail, you know, the really, really long tail, like, that part just needs everything to be super simple and just work and doesn't need super security. And the other piece of the tail needs that. And hopefully both of those will, they're slightly different needs, right? And the barriers to adoption in each are different. And hopefully both of those will be met by the end of the year. This is going to be a big year for identity.
Well, I look forward to it.
Yeah. Right. So the next Internet Identity Workshop, if anybody wants to come, and they're most welcome to, we're a very friendly community, is going to be probably May 2nd and 3rd. We're looking at that week in May. We haven't super nailed down the date, but
where at?
Probably in the Bay Area.
Go figure. Because that's where Identity Woman resides.
So yeah.
Your fortress of solitude, not Superman. what do you call your lair?
How about a hot tub?
That's what you call your lair? A hot
tub?
Oh, boy.
I'm a water creature,
oh,
right?
Of course. That's true. You can say the pool of, let's see here.
Protection.
There you go. The pool of protection. That's where you reside. That's your secret fortress is in the pool of protection. All right. Well, thank you so much. Hey, look. It's a shiny object. No, don't touch that. I was saying there's a shining object over there, but then you distracted me, and now I'm supposed to pay attention to this. Now, see, I got ADD.
You do.
I really do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you have that competitive edge that other people often don't.
I turned a personality disorder into a career.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh.
Transformed myself.
So it's a reframing, essentially.
Essentially, yes.
So you no longer think of it as just total mirror pathology. You have it. You're basically in a position where you can sort of process things faster than other people, higher energy level, able to multitask.
No, Pete, I am pathological.
Really?
Yeah, someone would say I'm sociological pathological.
Okay, well, there's the comorbid disorders as well. It's not just straight ADD.
It's a what disorder?
Often you have ADD. Sometimes it's just straight ADD.
Yeah?
But
as opposed to crooked ADD? Or
No. Comorbid condition. So ADD, what I call ADD plus. So, especially adults, often they'll have ADD and other things. So maybe ADD and learning disabilities, ADD and depression, anxiety, substance abuse, bipolar, et cetera, et cetera. It's not always the case, but sometimes you have other things going on in the mix besides ADD.
And what the hell makes you an expert? Who are you to say I got ADD?
I don't know if you have ADD.
Oh,
I'm an ADD coach.
I
can't diagnose. But if you have it, I could coach you on it.
Oh, you can coach it? You can you teach someone how to be ADD or how to get off of it?
No. I teach you how to maximize ADD and deal with some of the negative stuff.
And you said, I've got a competitive advantage. And you've got 10 reasons or so, somewhere thereabouts, on why someone with ADD has a competitive advantage in the tech industry.
Oh, definitely.
All right. So give me a few points.
Okay. Some of the points are, you know, you got a very rapid-fire mind, right? So
tell me about it.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, if you're in the high tech world, and you know you've got a really slow mind surfing the net, making decisions how to go there. I mean, you're just not as productive, right? Another thing is the ability to multitask, right? You know, I mean, how many apps, you know, if you weren't recording and you're just doing normal work, how many apps would I see, you know, you running simultaneously?
On average, really not a lot.
Oh, okay.
I really don't multitask applications a lot.
Okay.
It's more like in the mind I'm juggling.
Right.
Like right now I'm thinking about three different kinds of naked ladies and then talking to you.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, to me, I'm really
Well, it's kind of hard to compete with that.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But it's a competitive advantage. This is what you're telling me.
It's definitely a competitive advantage. You know, another thing is like high energy. So if they're really interested in something, you know, they can put in innumerable hours.
I love how you're talking about me in the third person. This is great.
I'm
stepping outside myself.
I'm talking about you, other people.
Some of the
other advantages, because ADD people don't filter as much as other people, they basically get more input, so they're often more creative because they can sort of see different ways to do things, right? They're not necessarily monotrack. You may not get 55 things done in your to-do list, right? But if you're in a situation that, you know, someone else might be stuck and not sure what to do, you know, if you have an ADD-er in that situation, often they're very good at brainstorming, thinking of different ways of working around that, you know. And the gift of hyper-focus, of course, is one of our greatest gifts.
I can focus?
Hyper-focus. It's beyond just normal focus.
Is that like HyperCard, like from Apple? Or?
Well, you got the same... the words are the same, but a little bit different.
Okay.
Hyper-focus is... Because like ADD is a condition of boredom, right? ADDers have problems.
I grew up in Iowa. I was bored.
Oh my
I got ADD.
God, yeah. I can see why you got out of there. Yeah. basically, for everyone, if you have a boring or repetitive task to do, it's kind of hard to do, right? But with ADDers, essentially their brains are understimulated, so they crave that stimulation, right? So that's why some of the boring things are hard. But anyways, back to hyperfocus. So hyperfocus is if you're interested in something, you can totally zone in. You get totally into the flow. The world disappears, and often you're moving faster than other people, right? You can really pay attention. So if someone is really interested in something, they can accomplish a lot more than other people, you know, and especially, you know, with computers. If you really get into that, you know, someone with ADD, I mean, they can be on it, you know, all night.
Oh, yeah.
Or all day. Like, say...
You
know, if you got a rush project, you have to get it done, right? And if you're interested in it, you can really zone in. So, I mean, think about it. If you're competing with someone else, right, and if you got a fast-processing mind, you're creative, you got the gift of hyper-focus, you know, the ability to multitask, who's going to keep up with you?
Well, now, have you talked to my fiancé yet? Have you talked to Ponzi? Because, you know, I think we need a therapist of some kind who understands my condition, because she doesn't understand how the hell I do all these things. And it's difficult for me because I'm trying to translate, like, what I'm thinking
right.
at the time that I'm thinking, and I can't exactly communicate it very easily to someone who, I don't know. What do we call them? The normies?
We call them the vanilla people.
Oh, the vanilla people.
They don't have as much flavor
right.
as the rest
really,
of us.
Quite honestly don't.
Yeah.
So how do I translate this energy, this passion, this ADD-ishness, if you will, the chocolate sauce to the vanilla people? How do I get that?
Okay. Well, one of the things is for you to really understand.
Oh, hang on. There's another shiny object.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Continue.
We'll get you back.
Yeah.
We'll drag you back. I'm good at that. Not for myself, but for others. So basically, you understanding how it actually works, you know, at the good points and the negative things, and to be able to sort of talk to, let's say, your fiance or, you know, I mean, this is not just good for you, but for a lot of other people. People with ADD, they can be often very successful in their careers, but they may not have a problem with the ADD in their career, but they may have a problem with the relationship, right? So part of the thing is just
sometimes it intersects. This isn't the case of us because we work together and
sure.
we live together and we, you know, love each other.
Right.
May not seem that way at times because we're like, I'm like, ha! And she's like, whoo! And
right.
just, whoo! You know, boom.
Well, one of the things, I mean, like working together and living together, I mean, ADD or not, time apart is crucial, right? Because even if you're super compatible, you will go on each other's nerves. So, you know, one of the things is sort of identifying, let's say, for her, what are, let's say, maybe the top three things that you're doing that's causing a problem to her. And vice versa, right?
So neurotic, it's got to be both. Yeah, sure. Well,
yeah.
Usually it's neurotic type behavior. I'm not going to say I'm neurotic.
Okay.
But like cleaning up, like straightening up, having a clean or organized environment, you know, mm-hmm. something where you put you take stuff out, you put it back, you know,
right.
like the hairbrush. Okay, it's out, put it back. Or, you know, the garbage needs
you
to be taken
that?
Out. Now I do. I put it back. I don't leave it out.
Right.
You know, she'll leave it out, and I'll be upset. And now I'm learning to not say something about it or not be upset about it, but just put it away and not say anything. You know, it's part of my behavior.
Wise. Okay.
You know?
So but you want it neater than her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's rare because often with ADD, a lot of the complaints of the non-ADD spouse is like, it's chaos. It's this, that, and that. You know,
no, dude.
So what you got to do
I'm anal ADD. So I'm AAAD.
Oh, okay. Well, it may be a little bit of
AADD.
It may be a little bit of OCD on that, too,
yeah,
right?
Most likely.
Yeah, but.
I've got an OSD on my OCD, so I can actually see what mode I'm in at the time. I press the little button, the green light goes, you know.
So what you got to do is you got to get her a book on feng shui and explain to her the reason for this.
She won't swallow it. She won't believe it. She does better at decorating than I do. I'm not, you know, I'm totally not a...
But get her a book on that. Because part of the thing is, if you have ADD, some people do want it really neat because if the environment is clean and clear, you're able to focus. If you have a lot of stuff cluttered, I truly believe that a cluttered environment, physical environment, creates a cluttered mental and emotional environment. You know, not just for ADDers, maybe a little bit more for us. Right, so it's more matters like, hey, honey, this is the way that I want this to happen. I want this organized, so I'm more productive. And maybe there's certain areas in the house that they're yours, and you do how you want. But
she thinks she automatically translates that into neurosis, as if I'm being too anal about something, putting something away where it belongs.
Anal is relative.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah. Okay. Is this? Can she have like? An area of the house that she can sort of like...
No.
Why don't you give her an area, man?
Because our house is so small right now
right.
that we have to share a lot of the space. And so her space is kind of my space as well. And so it's difficult for me to function in a space that's not
sure.
set, you know, not...
Can you even use those like dividing...
It's in our dining room. It's not. It's not the ideal situation, unfortunately. And
right.
even so, it would bother me to have that there. You know, the dividing thing.
Well, what about just doing what you're doing and you know, if the stuff is out of place, just sort of like, you know, calmly put it in its place without saying anything or doing anything or you've been bad.
I've gradually done that
and learn to detach.
I'm learning how to do that more and more often.
Right.
It's difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's repetitive. So if I do this here and then I move to another room and I have to do it again, mm-hmm. by the time I've done it a fourth time in a different
gets on
room,
your nerves.
It really get that's where I get that's where I get upset.
Okay, so what about trade-offs? Like one of the things I'll just throw this out. There may be something that she does that you do that irritates her.
Oh, nothing. So, no, everything
nothing?
I do is fine.
You're perfect?
Yeah. Hey Ponzi, I never annoy you, do I? I never annoy you, do I? See?
Yeah, I guess, my God, he's transformed. You.
That's right. I'm perfect.
Okay. Bodhisattva, right? okay.
So what you do is you're just trying
to sort of like, hey, is there an area that I can sort of work on a little bit, maybe not in the perfect way you want for you, and in turn, you know, you do a little bit of that. So it's a little like negotiating, right? So you may not get everything that you want. You may not get her, like you probably won't get her to be like you anymore. She's going to get you to be like her.
Which is difficult. Right? I mean, not so much the putting stuff away, but the thinking part. She doesn't understand the way I think. Like, because I'll be like, I'll see something and I won't see anything else. Like, I can understand the politics of a situation,
sure,
and I understand this, and I understand the business,
sure,
angles of the situation,
sure, sure,
and I'm able to do
both
these,
yeah,
things and, yeah, figure it out, but I may ignore this part, and then I'll get this far along and then realize, oh, I kind of messed that up. And I've relied on her now, mm-hmm, to kind of, not necessarily pick up the slack, but to kind of help augment that. So if I see these things, she's seeing this and she's saying, you know, red light, warning signal, you know, hey, mm-hmm, danger, Will Robinson. There are, mm-hmm, times that I'm able to rely on that, but, mm-hmm, there are also times when I'm thinking, okay, we need to do this, 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 and this, and this, and then we got to do this, 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 yeah, and it loses a lot of people, including herself.
Right.
How do I translate all these visions that I have, mm-hmm, of things, of whatever it is, to her without overwhelming her or making her feel as anxious as I do about completing,
okay,
things?
Okay, so what could be is, like, you're giving her first draft when you need to give her second draft, right? So you're getting it straight out.
Yeah.
So what about getting it straight out for you, maybe on paper or voice recorder or something like that, and then going over and saying, okay, like, what's the best way for me to communicate that to her, right? So get in a calmer state. You ever do any meditation or anything like that?
Oh, I tried. I'm too impatient.
Well,
I tried.
If you're ADD, the sort of like sit and imagine nothing, is it ain't going to work. So you need to do active meditation like Tai Chi or Qigong, yoga.
I tried yoga. Seriously, it bored,
yeah,
me. I got halfway through and I'm like, I can't do this.
Get into power yoga, Ashtanga yoga. You won't be bored.
Oh.
If you were even hardcore like Bikrams. And some people, I mean, like, you're a big audio guy. Okay, so what about getting like one of those guided audio CDs? You know, you can get guided meditation. So you
here's
got
the
that
problem.
Focus.
Last CD I listened to, the guy, yeah, was talking too slow, so I had to put him on 2-speed. And then he was fine. I listened to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and I'm,
yeah,
like, John Gray, talk like this. I put him on 2-speed, and he was fine. He was,
right,
like normal.
Okay. Well, then crank it up.
He was a normie, or he was speaking like me.
Sure, yeah, sure. You know, well, then crank it up. Or one of the things you could do with ADD, one of the ways to treat it is with exercise, because exercise basically boosts your dopamine levels, boosts your serotonin. Dopamine helps you focus, right? So maybe work out a bit, go for a run, you know, bike, whatever, and then try to do the meditation.
I do try to work out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen every day, but I do try.
Yeah.
And I quit coffee. I had to quit. I can't drink caffeine anymore.
Okay.
It's too much.
Are you on meds too, or
no,
are you just on?
No.
Okay.
Straight up. Straight up and down, me. That's it. No meds or anything.
Okay, well, so if you're not doing meds, what are you doing to balance out the neurobiology?
I don't know.
Sounds like you might need a coach.
Am I doing something to that I need to balance?
Well, the thing is that if you've got ADD,
yeah,
one of the things...
Which I don't know if I've never been...
You may or may not.
You know,
I mean, I'm a coach.
I
don't,
right,
diagnose.
No, I would have symptoms of someone who would,
sure,
have been diagnosed with ADD.
One of the things I got on my website is an adult ADD screener by Harvard.
Which is where?
Website is addcoachforyou.com,
okay,
number 4, letter U. And it's by Harvard, WHO. It's like a 5-minute screener. Anyone can do it. It doesn't diagnose, but it goes over some of the symptoms and the severity, right? Because everyone has some of the symptoms some of the time. It's like depression, right? You're sad for a weekend.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're clinically depressed. So, and if you think you have it, get a full diagnosis. Because, I mean, you may have a thyroid problem. It may not be ADD. There's a lot of other things can look like ADD. I'm not sure.
I just thought I was fat. I didn't know I was, like, testing my thyroids.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can diagnose it through the next squeeze. If you're really, really
good.
Not
so much.
But, you know, to find out if you really have it, and then medication is one option. Coaching is another. Therapy is another. Support groups. Diet. Exercise. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. But it's really important to get a good diagnosis and then find different ways and find an experiment, different ways,
yeah,
to try.
It worries me because I don't... I it's changing myself, but not knowing what I'm changing into. What I'm doing now isn't necessarily broken. I just need a little more.
It's not a matter about being broken.
Pinball,
right?
Machining, you know, yeah. Like.
Basically, I mean, ideally, what you want. I mean, ADDers can accomplish a lot. They can be a very powerful force for either good things or destructive things, right? Because they've got a lot more energy than other people.
Yeah,
they often got a lot of passion.
Yeah, our
midi-chlorian
count is like through the roof. It's a Star Wars thing.
Okay.
Never mind.
I'll take your word for it. But so it's not a matter of like, you know, totally changing who you are. It's a matter of, you know, finding out how you do things, right? And designing structures to basically have you, you know, accomplish what you want to accomplish with the least amount of grief, right? So focusing on what you're good at, and maybe some of the things maybe you're not so good at, delegating, like paying someone, like paying like
a
professional organizer
to come in
and you know, do some of that stuff. Right?
I've seriously done a lot more of that in recent years, so I'm learning from my mistakes.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Ideally, you make a great life if you really focus on what you're good at and get someone to, you know, either do the things you're not good at or pay you to teach them, you know, do it good enough, right?
So at Ponzi's a good balance for me. She gets a lot of the stuff that I don't get. It's a good balance.
Yeah.
We fight tooth and nail about things sometimes because I see it differently than she does. But.
Mm-hmm. So isn't that okay, though, that you see it differently?
It's good. It's just kind of – it's difficult. Because I'm an Italian, so I was raised Italian, and
okay.
So we argued about everything, and you know, have no fear of sharing emotion, and
right.
So all these things wrapped into one.
Italian and Thai culture, yeah, okay. There's a few differences.
Oh, dude, yeah, she's total.
But Nihongo dekimasu ka?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This is an expensive shirt that she bought at Lucky.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't tell you. Unfortunately, I love sushi though.
Oh, okay. Never been to Osaka. Been no. into Tokyo.
No, never been at all. I'm waiting for someone to fly me around the world, then that's when I'll do it.
Yeah, well, Japanese or... I don't know what the blogging scene is there.
It's pretty big, actually, electronic-wise. I mean, most of it's mobile, but it's pretty big.
Well, why don't you go over on a trip?
Yeah, you know, I'll get to it eventually. I think we got to wrap up, though,
because
they're closing at 8. But anyway,
okay.
No, thanks, Pete.
Yeah, well,
appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Live streaming of The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and Limelight Networks. Download Windows Media Player 10 to listen to The Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, GMT-8.